Hello and
Hello and
welcome to
welcome
the
to the October
7th
7th
edition
edition
of the
of
TMS Wiki's
TMS
Tuesday
Wiki's
Night Discussion Group. This week we are, this is feels like an important occasion. We are finally finishing up the last chapter of Cole Sachs's excellent new TMS book, The Meaning of Truth. And as in previous weeks, we have Nicole herself on the line, and I'm very happy to report that Nicole has agreed to do some sessions with some callers, and we've lined some people up in advance, and so the second half of the show today will be interacting with a caller or perhaps two. Before we start, though, I just do have to remind everyone, I think everybody knows this, but let me say it again, that this is a peer discussion group. If you have any sort of medical or mental health concern, you should see the appropriate licensed professional. If you have an immediate concern, obviously go to the emergency room. Also, of course, the opinions expressed here are the opinions of their speakers. The opinions do not necessarily represent those of the PPD TMS Peer Network, the nonprofit which is sponsoring this discussion. With that out of the way, let us begin. I want to thank a caller. I think someone just muted themselves, which will help the audio quality for everyone because there was a little bit of an echo.
Can I make a couple of announcements for us before we begin today?
Please.
Okay. The first thing I want to say to you guys is I would so incredibly appreciate it if anybody who is listening or if anyone knows someone who's read the book, if they could post a review on Amazon.com. The reason I say that is because now it's 2 days ago, I received an email from a very established publishing house in Barcelona, Spain, and they're interested in studying my book to translate it to Spanish. And that is so huge. That is so huge for our community. And it's huge for me because obviously a great portion of our world are Spanish-speaking people. And the fact that they have that kind of interest makes me very excited. So of course they just asked for a PDF and I sent it off yesterday. But once word starts getting around about something, the best place people go is Amazon because they want to see what do people have to say about this book. And my Amazon reviews are so beautiful. I am always on a daily basis grateful for anyone who has chosen to share there because even if like little things here and there are constructive criticism, which I completely understand, if a publishing house in Spain is looking to see what do Americans think of this book, like if this has helped you at all, my greatest goal with TMS is to spread the word, spread the word, spread the word, that there is unnecessary suffering going on out there. Right, Forrest?
Absolutely, absolutely, and thank you so much for doing that.
So anybody who would be willing, and you don't have to use your real name, you could set up an account and just be a pseudonym. It's just Amazon.com, and then it's search either Nicole Sachs or The Meaning of Truth. Nicole Sachs will be the quickest way to get to it, and you'll see there's a Kindle and there's a paper copy, paperback, and you can review it any way you want. I'm not asking people to say a certain thing. I want everything to be genuine, but it would really, really mean a lot to me, because the time I give to these kind of things is from my heart. Like I give it because all I want is for TMS to be something that the world recognizes. And Forrest, I've said this to Forrest before, I give him huge credit for opening up this practitioner interface we have where TMS therapists have this listserv that we belong to, and it's not open to the public. It belongs to us. And so we're creating ideas and sharing ideas all the time. And it's people from Australia and New Zealand and Great Britain and all around the United States. And it's fabulous because this is what we need because medicine needs to advance to the very brilliant understanding of what Dr. Sarno tried to do. And he did a really awesome job, but we need to take the baton. So anyway, I don't want to be too preachy, but if anybody wouldn't mind doing that, I would be very grateful. That's the only payback I ever want.
That is, and it's a very good thing. I know from being around the TMS publishing industry quite a bit for 5 years that Amazon reviews really matter. They help spread the word, and whenever you find a TMS book that you like, add a review, and it really helps. So great idea, great
So thank
idea.
you. I'm sorry. I hate to like do any sort of self-promotion, but it's really, and I know sometimes people find this hard to believe. It's really for all of us. I'm not doing this like because I can make $10. Like, I'm doing this because there is such truth to what is going on here, and I do not want to not leave my mark in terms of the suffering, the needless suffering that goes on in our world and our society. So, okay, soapbox done.
Well, I mean, I consider it education. We also have lots of Spanish resources on the wiki. Someone is translating a page per week. And she mentioned the listserv. When I often say on the thing that I'm often doing a lot of work behind the scenes, that's one of the many projects that means that I can't be on the forum as much as I'd like. Okay, so with that, let us dive in. There is so much to cover. First, let's talk about patience and kindness. And I love this chapter. I've recently been reading Howard Schumanner's wonderful new book, Unlearn Your Pain and Anxiety. Sorry, Your Anxiety and Depression.
Right.
He talks a lot about learner pathways. And it leads me to the impression that it's important to end on a positive note. And I think you have a really powerful way of getting people to end on a positive note. You know, this okay, you pour all of this stuff out, and
the
then
with
the journal speak, you get your truth out, as painful as it may be, and then what?
Yes. And what I realized in writing this book is people are not going to get the benefit of all of this truth telling without forgiveness. We all want to be forgiven. If your dad beat the shit out of you, you still want him to forgive you. And although this is so counterintuitive, I don't believe in standing on ceremony. You want him to forgive you because at the time, somewhere in your little six-year-old brain, you decided you were a really bad little boy or girl. And because of that, even if you seemed angry, when he beat you up, you needed to make sense of that. We need to make sense of when our parents do us wrong. It's just like, it's evolution. It's Darwinian. Like, it makes sense to us. So when I wrote the book and I thought about asking people and inviting people and partnering with people to, you know, excavate into their truths, what occurred to me and what used to occur to me on the panel a lot too is finding your truth doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot unless you can completely and immediately find some patience and kindness for yourself. We find it for other people all the time. It's no problem. Your best friend has a problem. You'll listen to her for hours. You think you have a problem, you'll be like, oh, don't be ridiculous. You're fine. This is what human beings do to themselves, especially the TMS personality.
Excellent. So very true. So very true. And it feels a little bit like you're helping us along with that in the book by developing a relationship with the reader and letting them know that you understand that it's okay. And it feels like relationships can help with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why when I talk about the patience and kindness thing and I say, you know, remember when you used to take a shot? Used to, I don't know. All age ranges are different. But I never was much of a shot girl. But when I was in college and the peer pressure was on to take a shot, I was always looking immediately for that sugary lemon. Like, I didn't want to taste the yucky alcohol. I wanted to, you know, suck down on something, make it go away. Felt good later, but anyway. So, until it didn't. But anyway. So, so all I'm saying is, we need to have patience and kindness for ourselves. You know, if you say, I hate my daughter, I don't believe in God, I wish I could just kill my dog. I mean, I'm talking horrible things, and I'm not saying anything about anyone specific. This is just life. You are not a bad person. These are human feelings. These are human feelings that if you decide to hold on to them, you will destroy yourself in some fashion. But if you can just say them out loud, if just to yourself, I mean, it does not have to be take out a billboard. It doesn't even have to be a spouse or a friend. That's what I'm trying to get across. you need to follow it up, that, you know, lemony deliciousness with the sugar, right away. Because if you say something that upsetting, you need to follow up immediately with, you know what? I'm a human being. I'm a member of the human race. There's a reason why I can't stop struggling with this, but whatever it may be, I'm okay. You know, like, it's okay, honey. Like, it's so important. If you don't have someone to soothe you, you must soothe yourself.
I love that word soothing, too. It reminds me of the mind-body prescription, one of my favorite mm-hmm. passages where he talks about the rage-soothe ratio.
Mm-hmm.
And it does seem like if you're going to go deep and get that did you call it the dirty nasty? Was that what you called it? I loved that term.
I think I have dirty uglies.
Dirty uglies, okay. If you're going to go into the dirty uglies, yeah, you got to clean up afterwards.
And not only, and Forrest, not only afterwards, immediately. Yeah. I can't actually stress this enough, because the longer we sit with our shame, the more the shame becomes something that we think is real. It becomes like an entity, right? And we don't, that's the opposite of what this work is. This work is by, you know, excavating our shame so we could look at it and say, okay, yes, it feels bad, but it's not really that bad. And it was handed to me by my parents or whomever, and I'm okay. But patience and kindness is necessary for that.
Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. Okay. So we're going to keep rushing along a little bit because we have these wonderful sessions to get to at the end. So let's move on to the epilogue. And there you quote a line from American Beauty by Alan Ball, closing line of the movie. And then I remember to relax and stop trying to hold on to it. And then it flows through me like rain. And I can't feel anything but gratitude for every single moment of my stupid little life. You have no idea what I'm talking about, I'm sure, but don't worry, you will someday. You want to tell us about that quote? It's your favorite quote in the world, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. Before I talk about it, and I don't mean to put anyone on the spot, does anybody want to say what that quote meant to them?
And I also didn't ask for questions in the last section, so do feel free to jump in if you'd like.
Yo, Ma, what did it mean to you? Mommy, I've had a long day. Give me a break.
What did it mean to me?
Yes, you.
I don't know. I think I've been preaching that stuff my whole life. It's like the world, there is a lot of beauty in the world, and it's up to you to create it in your own life and to appreciate it for what it is and not worry about how big it is or how important it is or how much the world has to recognize that you have it or you see it or you appreciate it, that it's really a club of you, yourself, and you.
Does everybody listen to my mother?
Yes.
That's what it's all about. Who was talking?
I heard a male grumble.
Was it Eric?
You heard me say yes. I said, yes, I was listening to her.
Was that Eric?
Jay.
Jay, I'm sorry.
Okay, so okay.
Perceive what you say is, you know, we have to have a lot of acceptance in our lives. And, you know, I'm a worrier. I admit I get that from my mother. I came from the factory that way. And I'm a worrier. I will find something to worry about.
Right.
And torture myself about. And I have problems finding acceptance. I have problems finding middle ground. I'm an extremist. I'm this way, that way, you know, to the extreme. And I'm a middle ground where there's a lot of acceptance is what I look for and what I need. And kind of what I'm thinking about when you said that.
Jay, I want to bring connection to what you're saying, because I feel that that is pretty much the sentiment of 99% of TMS patients. It's like, we're all such perfectionists. We're all such goodists. We're all such, you know, either do it
Right.
exactly as it should be done, or you waste your time. Why did you do it anyway? Right, Forrest? Do you understand
Exactly.
that?
Exactly.
Yes. So what I'm saying is that was a beautiful way, and thank you for that, of personifying that quote. Because what I was saying when I decided to quote it, which, by the way, my editor, well, my lawyer, nicked like half of it because I had written the whole thing. And she's like, if we print that whole thing, we have to really pay for it. And I was like, forget it, because it wasn't that important. It's just the epilogue. But the thing is, at the end of that movie, what he realizes is what holds us back in life is that we try to mediate beauty. We try, you know, you have a child, just for example, and this child like loves you and is in the world because of you. At least for me, that sometimes brings a chronic ache in my heart because I know life can't be perfect for him or her, and I know I can never save the day every time they need it. And so I think that that's what beauty is. It's like, so if I can't do that, but I decide to be all or nothing, like Jay just said, I lose. Because the real key is to be able to look at my son when he's having this like beautiful moment and I'm so proud of him, and to just hug him and love him and say, my goodness, I'm so proud of you. That's it. That's the moment. This is what's called happiness. It's the moments that we allow ourselves to be right there. Am I getting too philosophical? I'm sorry. I know I like to wax poetic. Forrest, rein me in.
I'm not going to rein you in at all. I'm fascinated. I love this idea. It reminds me a lot of Eckhart Tolle's idea of living in the now. And do
Yes.
you want to compare it with that?
Well, I have, you know, to be quite honest, not read the book.
Fair enough. Most people haven't, neither have I.
But the concept of it is it's priceless. Trying to be in the now, yeah.
It also reminds me of what you wrote about happiness in the process chapter. Happiness is not a permanent state of being, it is dynamic. Every state of being exists in moments such as life. Is that an extension of that earlier idea?
Absolutely. I mean, well, let me ask you a question, or anyone else who's willing to converse about this. What do you think? What do you think of that?
It feels to me that us TMSers are so uptight, and it depends. I mean, everybody's different, of course, but for a lot of us, we want to control things. We want to get in there and change it somehow. And I
Right.
think that's maybe what's hard. Once you do that, then you aren't living in the present anymore.
Yes, that is a huge debacle. But I think that's also the human condition, not even just TMS people.
Perhaps. Well, TMS is the human condition, but yeah, anyone
Yes,
else?
it certainly is.
Well, I heard it said in regard to what you just said, that these human conditions, yes, everyone has these conditions, these feelings, these emotions, and all of that. It's just that the TMSers, we seem to have a little more of our share of some of these feelings than others, like being a perfectionist when we're, the feelings like when we're angry, we're too angry. When we're happy, we're too happy. When we're this, we're too that. Or we're just out of bounds a little bit. We have trouble finding the middle ground.
So, I mean, Forrest, you want to answer that, or do you want me to jump in?
Hey, go for it. You're the star.
No. Oh,
You
trust me. I'm no star.
know, all I
Oh,
want
I'm no star.
I want to say just in response to, is it Jay still? Okay. In response to Jay's impressions that he had just now, it's just. It's like we all are saying, it's like we're all preaching to the same choir. It is what it is, what it is. Our human natural component is to achieve more, is to strive for higher. But
Right.
the TMS personality, which is not, you can't put it in a box, but, you know, the general things I, at least I find in my practice, and I've observed on the Sarno panels and working with Dr. Sarno, is people who suffer from TMS take it to the next level, which I think is what Jay's saying. Like, it's not just how everyone feels like it's got to be right or perfect or good. It takes a certain level of intelligence and integrity to want it, to need it, to be so good. And then when that feels unattainable, because perfection is absolutely and always will be unattainable, the TMS personality says, I can't deal with this anymore. This is making me too uncomfortable. So I'm going to reach for a plate and, ow, how did I injure my shoulder reaching for a plate? And that's where it begins, because then the fear comes in. The fear is eking in and saying, I must have an injury. And then we go to the, you know, doctor, and then we go to the radiologist, and they do the shoulder, and they say, well, of course, you know, you have a slightly arthritic shoulder at the age of 32. You know, and this is the kind of ruse that makes people decide they're sick. And as soon as you decide you're sick, you're so lost.
I have a slightly external question, a slightly different question.
Before you do, Forrest, can I ask you a real quick favor?
Sure.
I'm very thirsty. I'm just going to put it in the tap. I'll be right back.
All right. Okay? Yeah, indeed.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, we will do that.
I'm verklempt.
So, does anyone else have any thoughts about the book or that they'd like to share or any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. So go ahead. I already talked once. Your turn. The book is great. I finished it a long time ago, and it's a wonderful book, and I recommend everyone read it. And I do have a question regarding something that came up at the site, which is Nicole might be able to answer. I haven't been able to find how Dr. Sarno felt about painkillers. Someone just asked about painkillers. I know I remember him recommending it. I researched, I couldn't find it. And he also recommended, like, I forget, some prescription tranquilizers to maybe a glass of wine. And then I said that once, and someone came all over my case, like, someone's going to die if they have a glass of red wine or a beer. So, Nicole, do you remember what Dr. Sarno recommended for excruciating pain? What kind of painkillers did he recommend, and what kind of wine did he recommend?
What kind of wine? I have heard several times him talking, him suggesting to people, oh, just, you know, have a glass of wine and go to bed. I've definitely heard from that, and also other patients where he will prescribe painkillers so that they can focus on the real work, so that they can handle that excruciating pain. Is that what you're going for?
Clonopin, that's what he recommended.
Oh,
Clonopin.
No, we don't talk about specific drugs here. That's between you and your physician.
Well, Dr. Sarno is my physician.
All right, well, you know, that's a one-on-one thing. Anyway, I am happy to report that Nicole is back, as is Aaron. As discussed earlier, we will be doing a series of little sessions here, and we are really looking forward to it. Aaron, do you want to tell us a little, or tell Nicole a little bit about what you're struggling with, and maybe a little bit of your background story?
Before you begin, honey, Forrest, I know I just, like, stepped out, but has this been announced enough so people really get what we're doing, that the book is done? I just wanted to make sure.
Do you want to, so...
I have no need. I'm just wondering, has it been announced?
Oh, yeah, it was, yeah, I announced the basics of it, yep.
Right, okay. All right. So, Aaron, there you are. I can see you, right?
Yeah, yep, I can see you both.
Hi.
Hey there.
Look, you're so adorable.
Thank you.
How old are you, Aaron?
I'm 25.
25. You look like you could be my son's age.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's a good thing, because I'm 42 and I still get carded. So, you know.
Nice. I do as well. I look like I'm 18, but it's all good.
So the best thing I can do right now is, because obviously we don't have the amount of time that anybody would have in classical therapy, is for you to help me out by explaining in your first message what you suffer from. You know, what are your TMS pains? Or even if that consists of anxiety, depression, OCD, anything, irritable bowel, anything that you consider to be a difficulty in your life that could or could not be TMS, because I'm very skilled in being able to help you, at least in the virtual world, understand that. So you go ahead from that jumping off point.
Sure, that'd be great. All right, so currently the chronic fatigue is probably the most apparent symptom that I have, that I have been having trouble ridding myself of. And I'd say that I'm a little bit less typical person in regard to my TMS symptoms, at least from like the majority of the people on the forum, in that it's not so much physical pain that I have suffered from, at least right now. Back up even several years ago, like back to 2007, I was in two car accidents that weren't really that bad at all, and got, you know, suffered from whiplash or whatever that is, and experienced, you know, neck and back pain after that, but it wasn't anything too crazy. However, it progressively got worse and worse, and then ended up, the like migraines were one thing that really hit me, and as of maybe 2 months ago, those have been really starting to reduce in severity, and quite recently they're not even too much of a bother. So just with my own
I want to interject, and I want to ask a question.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
As I always say, I'm just treating this like a regular session. So mm-hmm. As I always say, I'm going to interject, but I don't want you to stop feeling like you can vent. I just want to ask questions at certain times. So you sure. opened with saying that you have chronic fatigue, mm-hmm. and then you were just discussing the two car accidents. And then you said, but most of that is gone. What do you feel like you did? Where was your power in having whatever is gone being gone? And if you don't think this is the time to answer it, I just want to plant the seed, and then you can continue with the story and come back, or you can tell me right now.
Sure. So the physical pain was actually really easy to get rid of. Like I said, it wasn't anything too crazy, like, you know, what other people have been going through, like on the forum and elsewhere. It was just more of like a lingering kind of tightness, and occasionally would flare up. And I always pointed or connected the two between stressful situations, because when I was really stressed, my neck or back would hurt way more. But
when
just
you
after,
when you were a boy.
Yep. And so after getting introduced to TMS and reading a couple of Sarno's books, the neck and back pain actually went away within like a month or two, just of thinking about it differently. But with that, around the same time, actually before I found out about TMS, I injured my groin playing basketball. And after that happened, that's when I had like the first bout of really severe physical pain. And that pain just like would not go away. Kind of radiated all in that general area into my abdomen and stuff. And then after finding out about...
How old were you at the time, Aaron?
This was just last year, actually, so 24.
You're 24.
Yeah, 24 mm-hmm. at the time. And so so after, you know, struggling with that for probably 5 to 6 months, I was introduced to TMS. And
how so?
Actually, on a complete whim, I was desperate to figure out how to cure myself, and I was looking into holistic doctors in the cities, Twin Cities, because I'm from pretty close to the cities, but in Wisconsin, and all the doctors and holistic doctors that I went and saw could not fix it for me. And so I called this guy up, and he doesn't practice TMS, but I explained him my story, and he's like, well, I don't necessarily think I'm your right guy, because you've already done all the things that I would tell you to do. And so he told me about the divided mind, actually. And so read that. It took me like probably 2 months to actually fully commit to it. I was kind of in denial.
That's pretty quick, by the way, Aaron. So
yeah.
Bravo. You know, and, sometimes it's 2 years before someone decides to, you know, take it in.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah, I mean, my life was really shattered. Like I couldn't sit for more than 5 minutes without it just giving me excruciating pain, and different emotional issues got tied in with that. And I've always kind of struggled with anxiety and minor depression, but it really amped up when like all the physical stuff happened with my groin. And so being desperate, I decided one night, I was in excruciating pain. I just decided like it's time for me to at least force myself to believe that it's TMS. And so I went to the gym and hadn't ran or exercised for over probably 6 months, and just played a game of basketball and just kind of played through the pain. Just kept telling myself, you know, it was TMS, so on. And
this is important. Were you with strangers?
I was, yeah. I was just a complete random.
Yeah. I want Forrest, are you listening? Is he on this call still?
I am listening, but I had muted myself because I didn't want any
background. No, that's fine. I want, you know, because I'm very involved when I work with a client. I want you to make a mental note that I want to go back to that.
Okay.
That he decided to challenge himself, but purposely or not purposely, I imagine it was somewhat purposely, ended up in a group of complete strangers, which is incredibly important point that I want to come back to. But go on.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. So kind of played through the pain, got over sort of the fear of it all, just forced myself out of the fear of it all. And it still definitely hurt while I was playing, but I just kept doing it. And I woke up the next morning and my pain was probably 20 to 30% less.
Awesome.
And then I went the same the next day and played again, and then woke up the next day and it was like maybe 60 to 70% gone. But I woke up with like a super sharp pain in the bottom of my foot. It was really strange. So that was actually the first time that I was like completely convinced that that was TMS, because the symptom imperative and stuff.
Exactly. So, you're very wise, Aaron, to bring that up. If the pain moves to a different place.
Yeah, and normally I would have freaked out because it was really sharp and like I couldn't walk, but I just, you know, kind of laughed it off and kept walking, and it went away within a matter of minutes. So probably about a month or so went by and I was still kind of having minor like pain come and go, but it wasn't ever super severe. And then I would say within a month or so, it was like there. I had days where it was completely gone. But like probably 3 or 4 months it took to like completely go away, and not only go away, but like
that's still awesome. I wonder if you know that's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah.
No, I mean I really want to say it. I mean, because obviously, Aaron, this moment is for you. But considering the forum in which we're holding this moment goes beyond you because people are looking to be inspired. Mm-hmm. And I just want to know that people get it, that like, what he is describing is dedication to oneself. He is describing, what Aaron is saying is, this kind of stuff doesn't happen overnight unless you dedicate the energy you've been giving to worrying about the pain to yourself, to journaling, to thinking psychologically instead of structurally. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make that point, but go on.
Yeah, so the physical pain was actually easier to get rid of than the emotional connection I had to it, because I went 6 months in constant pain with it. And so, like, it probably took 6 to maybe 7 months after the physical pain was gone to, like, stop thinking about it and, like, wondering where it is, you know. And so now, you know, that reduced as far as the physical symptoms went. Those reduced relatively quickly. However, shortly after that, like, you know, I've dealt with headaches for quite a while, like since probably 2007, but just kind of they would come and go, nothing chronic or anything like that. And
when you say headaches, I just want to, you know, clarify this for anyone who's listening. This is not just like, oh, it hurts a little. Like, I'm imagining debilitating headaches, yes?
Yeah. So, like, So leading up to the groin injury, I would have headaches that would kind of knock me out for either several hours or maybe even a whole day. But they would leave and usually go away for like 2 to 3 days at a time and then come back. It was almost like clockwork. Like, I would expect them.
That's also associated with panic disorder, just to let you know. But I don't want to get too clinical, but go on.
Yeah. And so after the groin pain was gone, the headaches turned into like really intense migraines that just wouldn't go. And like, to the point where I like, you know, couldn't think straight. It was affecting my work, my life, which the groin pain was in its own right, but the migraines
were
like a different kind of psychological type of like pain that was preventing me from other things. And so when that actually happened, I like started to have really bad anxiety as well. So it was like anxiety and migraines were like, after the groin pain left, those took you know, front row, and they were just really,
Aaron,
really.
Can I ask you a question? Because I always think it's so helpful, and people struggle with this. Can you define what it feels like to have anxiety? Like, how did it manifest in you?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think I've always had like an anxious mind, like since childhood, and
how would you characterize that? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but like,
That's,
I think
that's
people are really needing to know this. So, you were a child, go ahead.
So like I would say that in the past it started as just like kind of constant like state of like worrying and feeling displaced, like not confident and just kind of uncomfortable, like overall uncomfortable, but mostly in the mind. But after, you know, when it really ramped up and got really severe, it was more of a body sensation. Like I would have a really tight stomach, or I would feel like,
The reason I'm taking deep breaths is because I've seen this, and it hurts me physically to think of how bad that must have felt for you.
Yeah, and it was all happening too at obviously a really stressful time with other, you know, situations that were happening in life and work and all that, which is obvious. It makes sense why I was having these crazy symptoms, because my life was really stressful. But tight stomach and just like an overall like incredible feeling of tenseness like throughout my body, like I remember you know, laying down because I would have such a bad headache, but I would feel so tense and so like, I don't know, in a weird way energized, to the point where I could get up and like run as fast as I could, but I was so like debilitated that I couldn't, kind of like you're trapped in your own body and you can't really do anything about it.
That
was what it felt like for me.
Have you ever been assessed for bipolar illness?
No, I haven't.
Okay, because I'm just saying, you know, that kind of mania that goes head-to-head with what you're feeling in your body that you can accomplish, it makes sense to take a look at that, and there's no shame in it. People hear bipolar and they think, no. I have a couple very dear friends who I would trust my children with that are bipolar. I just want you to kind of check that out for yourself.
Yeah, sure. I am happy to report though that the anxiety and all the symptoms associated with it are probably 90% gone just through doing therapy work, and really like exercising a lot has been helpful, and just understanding this entire process of TMS. So, but yeah, thank you for bringing that up. It's definitely something to check out. But yeah, the anxiety is really not even on my radar anymore. And when it does hit me, it's I know everything that I have to do to either get rid of it or just deal with it. And
so,
know
Aaron,
that
what is it that you do? What is it that you do? Sorry, I'm just looking for a hairband. What is it? Can't find one. Now I'll have to have it down. What is it that you do when you know that the anxiety is coming, or whatever you just described in terms of feelings? What do you do?
Well, when it's really bad, I actually, it's really hard to do, but I've kind of mastered it, and I just let the feelings take over my body. Like, just, I let the anxiety, like, kind of just surge through my body, basically, and I just accept that, I feel really tense right now, and that generally what happens is it gets really, really bad, it reaches a threshold, and then maybe 20 to 30 minutes after that, it completely leaves my body. It's actually became a really quick thing.
That's pretty awesome.
Obviously
it's not awesome. It sucks, but that's great that you've been able to embrace it in such a fashion.
Yeah. And meditation has been the biggest key to that for me. It's just, before what would happen is I would feel that way, and then I would just like go on and on in my own head about like, why is this happening? Or, like, right. You know, just bewilder myself, basically, and make it way worse, or fear what's going on, that it'll mm-hmm. become worse. And mm-hmm. so now when I feel like that happening, I kind of just, I don't know, I can kind of think my way out of it.
That's the key.
Yeah, because I now know that it's my thinking that gets me into it most of the time. It's not, I used to think it was just this, like, freak, like, sudden thing that I had no control over, but it's really not. I've learned. It's the exact opposite.
And you're making an excellent point, Aaron, because what I believe is that people don't understand that, yes, Dr. Sarna was 100% right, and TMS is about, you know, sublimated rage. However, the day-to-day managing of TMS, to me, the number one word is fear. Because the moment you decide, oh my goodness, I'm not going to be a blank, blank, or blank, you know, I'll never be a professional baseball player, I'll never be a father because I won't be able to lift my kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, people have these never-evers that happen to them out of fear. And TMS just takes that shit and runs with it. That's mm-hmm. what the brain wants. It wants you still and debilitated. It doesn't understand. You know, we have to keep evolving these things.
Right. And so, yeah, just to, I guess, speed up to where I'm at right now, the anxiety and headaches are mostly completely gone, which has been the two symptoms that have been the hardest for me as far as, like, limiting right. me in my life.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And my overall joy and everything. So that, with those two being mostly gone, I've found a lot, you know, more joy in my life, which is good. But now that those are not so apparent, the chronic fatigue is just like, you know, like, hey, I'm still here. Like,
it's settling in for the long haul. You know why?
Well, yeah, because there's nothing else to distract me, basically.
Mm. Yes and no.
But yeah, I don't know why. That's kind of why I'm interested in this discussion, because the one thing that's been hard for me is that because physical pain hasn't been too crazy for me lately, at least, it's been hard to, like, go on the forum and really get a lot of advice, because it seems like the majority of people are dealing with, like,
right.
Back
yeah.
pain and stuff
the
like
back,
that.
The neck, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen, the bottom line is this, and this I speak about it in my book, and I used to tell it on the panel all the time. I knew about TMS, I had cured myself, I was told I would never have a baby, I had two to term, I was lifting up Oliver's little walker to carry it down two steps to the pavement so he wouldn't go over the little stairs, and it felt literally like a hot burning knife had been stabbed into my back and ripped across the whole lower back, and I believed it.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's important about TMS that people don't understand, and I see this with so many of my clients, is they're like, well, you know, I've gotten rid of A, B, C, D, E, F, but obviously, you know, this one's still, I'm still struggling. It's because you are allowing yourself to believe that it's not TMS. You're being tricked, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. I've just watched myself go through it so many times. Like, when my back pain went away, and then all of a sudden I had migraines, and I was like, oh, that's shitty. I guess hormonally I have migraines now. I had a baby or whatever. And, you know, I may have said this before in this situation, I don't know, that I realized one of the days I was speaking on the panel. Forrest, I don't know if you remember. Did I actually tell this story here before?
I think you did. Yep. Discovering it on the panel that yes. your headaches.
Yeah. So I don't need to go into it with, well, you know, with so much detail. But the fact that I understood in that moment, what? I don't need these headaches. I never got one again. And I know that it seems very simplistic, and I've had headaches, but I'm talking about those kind of headaches I was suffering from once I realized, wait a second, it's just duping you. It's just like the back, just like the neck, just like the shoulder, just like the million things that have happened in my life. Treat it the same. And that is really the answer. I know it sounds so simplistic, but it's the answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the as far as like kind of giving up on TMS, like you said, I went through that as well after the groin pain was gone and the headaches got really a lot worse. I freaked myself out again and took a break from TMS, and of course the symptoms got way worse. And then I, throughout the last like several months, getting rid of the headaches has been a really difficult task for me. But what I learned is that it was all coming from internal pressure and the
makes sense.
And like even in like the most subtle ways too, not like literally telling myself I'm, you know, like gonna mess this up or like you're not good enough. Like it wasn't that obvious. It was like me trying to do things that I wasn't super good at. Like I would force myself to do things because I felt pressure from outside sources, even though they weren't even really like
was
valid.
Was it your friends, like, your parents? Like what? Where's the pressure?
Mostly like friends and coworkers. Like I own a screen printing company, and so like I felt this immense pressure to like, you know, to like run the company to other people's expectations or do things that like from like a management standpoint, like I had to be this amazing manager and I was always worried about what other people were thinking of me. And after I just kind of gave that up and kind of was just like, I don't care anymore. Like I stopped caring so much about like, in my opinion, less important things in life. Okay. That's when the headaches
prioritized.
Yeah. I prioritized. And that's when the headaches started to dwindle. Like when I would focus my attention on what really mattered and just, you know, if something bad happened at work, I wouldn't like beat myself up over it. I would just be like, well, it's just whatever. It's not that important. So that was the biggest key for the headaches. But, and the fatigue is weird because I still am doing all the things that I was doing to get rid of, you know, like the headaches and the physical pain and stuff like that. But I just can't, I feel like I'm missing something. And part of me thinks it's my, like the work stuff that's going on at work and that I'm doing things that like, I am not really that passionate about. Like I explained this in my email to Forrest that you might have saw, but when I started the company, I was like a screen printer and I got to be creative and really enjoyed everything about it. And then slowly after we got more and more busy, I had to take on more of the managerial and business operations of everything because I was the only one that could.
Right.
And so even though I'm not like a pro at it, I was the best person to do it at the time. And so I kind of got defaulted into that role. And
yeah.
And it's weird because when I get to actually step away from all that and be creative, I don't notice the fatigue. And that's like the next best thing to not being fatigued.
Yes. I know we only have a minute or two left. So I want to close with this, Aaron. A lot of times people struggle with understanding and or accepting the diagnosis of TMS. And I work incredibly hard helping them to do so because no enduring healing can ever happen if people don't first accept that they are not physically unwell, right? Like none of this soul-searching, journal-speaking, patience and kindness would mean shit if we still think I really needed that spinal fusion surgery, okay? So, you know, that's super important. I just commend you for being able to maturely look at your situation and say, there may be another way around this, because this is, to me, where we're bringing this movement precisely.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So as far as like, and because the tricky thing is that I can't really change my work situation at the moment, and I can figure out ways to change it over time. But like, if it is something work related and it's bringing up emotions, like, you know, like I hate this, I don't want to be doing this right now. Like, what are your recommendations to a person that feels kind of trapped with what they're doing, and it's kind of putting an emotional burden on them.
Do you ever journal?
I do, yeah, but it's mostly about childhood stuff. I've journaled a little bit about my current like work situation, but
what you need to do is you need to get as angry as you feel in a private, safe place, wherever that may be. And I don't care what it is. It could just be loose leaf paper that you're going to burn or shred. I want you to write, "Dear Aaron, this is how you fucking feel about your job." This is why I love swear words, because they make an impact. Like, it's important. You need to be able to just let it out and say, "Fuck this shit. I don't like it. I'm better than this. I'm smarter than this. I don't deserve this. These people are trash." I mean, I don't care what you have to say. You don't need to say it to anybody but yourself. Let it out. Don't hold it in and let it be that you're a prisoner of your subconscious feelings and then hence your pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have done that once, but I think I need to do it some more. And
I want you to do it balls to the wall. I want you to just, I mean, I love it when people bring their journaling in and the whole entire, at times, first page is, "Fuck, I don't know what to write. I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. This is the worst." But the second page is, "I never realized how angry I was at my boss." Like, we need to give ourselves permission to feel.
Mm-hmm.
The inconvenient feelings, you know? Right. Yeah. I mean, Forrest, we're approaching 10. Do you want to wrap up and then you decide how we're going to go forward?
That does seem like a good time to wrap things up. So thank you, both of you, for that. Thanks for sharing that, Aaron.
My pleasure. Good luck to you, Aaron. But I'm sure I'll see you again.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Indeed. So let us adjourn until next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. And we will continue with Carolyn and Julie. Thank you so much, Nicole. And see you next week.
My pleasure.
Take care.